it's I much prefer them to do well than to do poorly. So it is, you know, I actually have enjoyed watching the team prosper. It's fun to watch the fans in Baltimore get back to wearing black and orange again and have the stadium full. It's been, you know, it's been quite fun to watch from a distance.
How closely do you follow the club? And that goes back not only this year, but to last year.
You know what? With the technology that's available today, not as much as I probably would have thought, because you can get updated, you know, in a matter of just a few minutes by all the different technologies that are out there today, whether it be MLB.com and get the five-minute review of the game. So you're not, you know, one of the reasons for not returning was the fact that you were, you know, that you were there 12, 13 hours a day while there were other things going on in my life that needed attending to. You really couldn't do it. But today, you can keep abreast of all the teams in a short period of time just by virtue of all the different technology that's out there.
Obviously, Andy, you look at the Orioles roster and even the American League All-Star team this year, and there are a lot of guys you brought in, guys who were young, who were blossoming, even while you were still with the Orioles, and then, of course, as I mentioned before, reached great heights after the fact when you left. Do you take personal pride in your abilities as a baseball guy and a longtime general manager in the sport and someone who's had incredible success running a baseball club? Do you take great pride looking back and say, you know what, I made all the right deals?
We did well, you know, on some of our deals, they, you know, they worked out about as well as you could hope. You know, we had, you know, kind of a older roster when we got there, and one that was having a difficult time competing in the American League East, and really there wasn't anything on the horizon that would indicate that that was likely to change, absent some, you know, some investment in the future. And you know, our owner Peter Angelos went along with that 100%, and we, you know, in the end, traded most of those players that were attractive to teams that were trying to win now. And in exchange for that, what you're asking for is to give yourself and your team the opportunity to win later. And fortunately, that's just what's happening. And, you know, I think Buck has got a lot to do with that. And I know one thing, even when our teams were struggling, you know, in August and September under Buck, they had pretty good records. You know, even if you go back, I think, and look at 2010 and 11, you know, he keeps them focused when it's easy for teams that aren't in it to lose their focus that time of year. And I think that just bodes well for the future for 2013.
Andy McPhail with us here on WBIL. I do want to ask you about some of the trades specifically, but before we get there, you mentioned his name, Buck Showalter. And my assessment, Andy, would be that I'm not sure in the modern day sports context any field manager in baseball or head coach in one of the other sports has had as great of an impact as this one man here with the Orioles, and perhaps he's your best acquisition above all. Why Buck? At the time you fired Dave Tremblay and you brought in Juan Samuel to be the interim manager, there were a lot of great candidates out there knocking on the door to be the next manager of the Baltimore Orioles, but why did you settle on Buck?
Well, I think it's not just a function of me. It was Peter and myself, because I was going to make sure that the owner was fully on board and, you know, felt like he had a stake in this decision as well, which I think, you know, to me was important for the future of the franchising, of both the owner and the GM fully on board and committed to the hire. And I think one thing that Peter and I did that I think was very important was we decided to kind of go first. I think if you look back on it, Brett, there were going to be, I think, 11 managerial changes over the course of that year. And we really weren't the prettiest girl at the ball, so we felt like we had to go out first and try to make a decision. And try, really, one of the things we had to do was talk Buck into starting in August. There was some conversation about having him start the next year. I felt it was important that he get on board in August, take a look around, make some assessments for himself, help us participate in the player acquisition over the course of the next season based on his evaluation of what was currently on the roster. I know in my case, coming in July of 07, that was really immensely helpful to me to be able to come in there with really no expectations and just sort of watch and listen and read and sort of get up to date and probably persuaded me to make some moves I think would have been difficult for you coming in, you know, in the off season without the benefit of seeing as many games as you did and getting to know the players and sort of the different entities as well as you could. And I think that did well for Buck. And I think Buck liked the idea of a young roster that we were trying to assemble. I think he liked the idea that he didn't have many guys in the mid-30s in the middle of long contracts. It was a roster that he could have some impact on, making an impression on, and sort of setting, you know, how you play the game. So I think he was attracted to that aspect of what we were trying to build, and, you know, that's why he was willing to commit as early as he would. And what clearly would be, you know, an off season of change at the managerial level.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the trades that you made, Andy. Looking back, any one of them, and I mean this, could probably make a general manager's career, a young general manager coming up in the game. You had the opportunity to make a lot for an evolving roster, but Eric Bedard for Adam Jones, Chris Tillman, George Sherrill, who was an all-star in his own right, Cam Michelio, Tony Butler, Koji Uehara for Chris Davis and Tommy Hunter, Miguel Tejada, what, the day before the Mitchell report came out, to Houston for Troy Patton, who's a very accomplished left-handed reliever right now in the Orioles bullpen, Dennis Orfate, Mike Costanzo, Matt Albers, who's still in the big leagues, Luke Scott, who's helping out that Tampa Bay ball club. And then maybe actually my personal favorite, Brett Jacobson and James Hoey for J.J. Hardy and Brendan Harris, not to mention the Mark Reynolds trade, which certainly helped out the Orioles last season. Does any of those stand out in particular to you as far as how did I pull that one off?
Well, they're all important. You know, in their own right. But I do think the one that had the most sort of unsung impact to the to the roster, in my view, was J.J. Hardy. We had such a difficult time there at shortstop. You know, you were holding your breath, you know, every time the ball was hit over there. We weren't getting much offensive production. We went through I don't know how many shortstops to get someone like J.J. that was going to be reliable, consistent, and then contribute as much offensively as he did, which I don't think anybody was expecting, 30 home runs. And then for him to take the leap of faith and agree to a 3-year extension, pending his free agency and clearly what was going to be a good season for him, showed an article of faith on his part. So I think that when you already think about Matt Wieters being there behind the plate and Adam Jones in center, and you had an opportunity to really make yourself strong up and down the middle of the diamond, that one, I think, you know, had a lot of lasting psychological impact for us that was very positive.